What's up, world? I'm Matt Newberg from Hungary, and this is The Feed. Each episode, we'll dive into conversations with the industry insiders who are leveraging technology to shape the way we eat. On today's episode of The Feed, I sat down with Christine Schindler, co-founder and CEO of PathSpot, a health and safety operating system for restaurants and food manufacturers. In this episode, we talk about PathSpot's proprietary handwashing compliance hardware, how it serves as a system of record for standard operating procedures, and the power of its data to help prevent foodborne illness before it happens. This podcast is brought to you by Hungry, a media and research platform dedicated to the intersection of food and technology. For more information, please visit hungry.tv, that's hungry with no U, and click subscribe to join the weekly newsletter. All right, Christine, it's awesome to have you here. I'd love for you to just start off by talking about your background building low-cost medical-grade tools in Africa, your career in healthcare, and kind of the public health challenges you identified that led to the foundation of PathSpot.
Sure. So my background is in biomedical engineering and global and public health. I had started in the research side of that world, so was really passionate about the ability to identify different objectives for global and public health, specifically as it came to medical devices and equipment. I spent time living and working in the developing world, mostly in the Kilimanjaro region, where I was working on some of these different tools and technologies and how to make these solutions operate in a really low cost, durable, and accessible way. You know, a lot of the hospital networks and systems there didn't have access to water or air conditioning or heat or a ceiling. And when I returned to the US, I was working in our hospital networks and systems here domestically, but I just started to see all of these public health discrepancies here in the US that I felt could also benefit from low cost, durable, accessible, but still medical grade tools and technologies. And one of them at the time were these huge issues of foodborne illness. Like, people were getting incredibly sick, hospitalizations, even deaths from these outbreaks that simultaneously were costing brands billions of dollars. And the news was saying, you know, it's cereal, it's lettuce. But I'm looking at it thinking, well, lettuce doesn't spawn illness, right? So what did we do? What could we have done in our food supply system to prevent this, to make sure it didn't happen? And it turned out that around 90% of the time, according to the CDC, these were traced back to poor hand washing practices. But really, this challenge and problem of creating a safe food supply and the operational efficiencies that come with that is what's inspired me to build and develop the tools that we created within PathSpot.
Amazing. Yeah, it sounds like it's a human problem, not a, you know, less so an agricultural problem, but I think, you know, kind of our top-down food system is also to blame. But yeah, I'd love for you to kind of give us the pitch for your hardware and software products, for PathSpot, the various, you know, customer segments you're selling into, all that good stuff.
Yeah, great. So we have this combination system, as you mentioned, of hardware and software products that have they hit every piece of the food safety and operational ecosystem for a back of house. And so our goal was, what are all the things that people are doing on pen and paper? Writing down their labels 100 times, writing banana March 11th as many times as they can on every single banana. You know, checking the temperature of every single refrigerator unit, reminding people to wash their hands and running hand washing trainings. What are all the things that are taking up time in the back of house that also aren't being necessarily done as effectively as they could be if empowered by technology? And so our suite of products covers that entire system. We started with, as I was mentioning earlier, the hand washing solution. It's a device that mounts on the wall next to a hand washing sink. And after team members wash their hands, they can quickly check and see if they have invisible contamination behind E. coli, salmonella, neurovirus, hepatitis A, listeria, you know, all those things that you're seeing on the news that you don't want in your restaurant. And then it tracks back to SOPs and reminds around hand washing and different processes. Our temperature monitoring platform is a system of different probes and sensors that go inside of refrigerators, freezers, hot holds, cool down elements, and actually identify and make sure all the correct temperatures are being hit for safe food, as well as that the equipment is up to and in the appropriate condition for quality of food as well, and then sends text message and alerts on those different components. Our labeling platform is utilized for identifying if all the food is held at the right expiration and stopping and helping support waste management as well. So identifying those batch areas of things that are purchased, making sure that that clocks into the inventory system, you know what's coming into your restaurant, you know when it expires, and you're tracking how that food waste and spoilage occurs within the operation. And then we also have a checklist platform that kind of pulls all this together, is actually running through all the different forms, any piece of paper that's in the back office. We digitize, create it into a platform that you can fill out on a phone or iPad, go through your different questions, make sure that anything from changeover manager checklists to bathroom cleanings to identifying quality of food, any form that's being filled out can be done in a way that's systematized and actually then utilized from a data-driven perspective to make really smart operational decisions within the environment.
Wow, there's a lot there, and I'm looking forward to diving in. I guess how much of this kind of workflow is dictated by PathSpot and like best practices versus like restaurants' existing workflows? Like, how much help do these customers need, you know, getting their act together, so to speak? And or is it everyone's just following the same guidelines here?
That's a great question. There's definitely FDA recommendations and guidelines in place, but I'll tell you that it's also very customized depending on the brand, depending on the type of operation, depending on the culture of an organization as well, you know, what components are most critical and important to them. And so there is some base packages that we know of that we can kind of say, hey, we want to ensure that these 12 things are done because those are aspects that are, you know, required either through previous regulation or the Food Safety Modernization Act or other components, you know, to ensure that all of those are being met. And then there's a lot of additional customizations and components that get tied into this too. How do we adjust this to make it as effective as possible for the store teams? How we make this something that makes it way easier for them to accomplish their day-to-day tasks? And some of that is more adjusted based on what's already going on within an operation or from starting to implement these tools and team members themselves saying, I wish that the platform could do this. I wish that, you know, this is something that's really challenging about my day that I'm really worried about messing up from a safety side. I wish that would get through. And so we've been able to streamline and systematize those things as well. So it's definitely a combination of, you know, government or audit related expectations combined with those other areas.
Really cool. And so when we look at like the status quo and how people are doing it, like how long has this like pen and paper tracking been going on, and like kind of paint us like kind of the worst case scenario, or like what are some of the, you know, worst, yeah, what are like the worst things that could possibly happen if these guidelines aren't being followed? And what are some good examples that you think in the media of like brands that, you know, had they been using this platform, could have like stopped a massive outbreak or something from happening?
Yeah, you know, I think that the reality is there are not digital tools that encompass this entire system being utilized across the industry. And I think that's part of where the challenge comes in. So when you look at the current best practice, oftentimes it's, you know, digital logbooks that are six feet tall, like on pen and paper, that people are running around with, filling out, checking manually every single refrigerator unit. I mean, some of the operations we're in, you know, they have 30 to 50 refrigerators or freezers or hot holds. Someone's job is to go around and write down every temperature of those refrigerators. All right, that one's 25 degrees, that one's 5 degrees, that one's 100 degrees. And then they put all those on a piece of paper and it goes in the back office. They're supposed to, if it's out of a certain temperature range, check those ranges against, you know, another piece of laminated paper that's sitting somewhere that says this is the appropriate range for that freezer unit. And then if it's not, there's a corrective action process that has to be followed. But then guess what? That's on another piece of paper. I got to go over there and find the corrective action process. And then that's cell is supposed to be stored and bound for a month so that that can be gone back to and make sure that those pieces are in play. That's for temperature, for example. You know, and each of these different pieces has a robust process that's been developed with the intention of food quality and safety, ensuring that these components are put into play and held into appropriate standards. But the reality is it's incredibly challenging for team members to keep up with this. And I was talking to someone in a restaurant the other day, and they're like, oh yeah, what I tell my team is at least change the pen when you're falsifying all the logs from the last 2 weeks. Because the reality is you don't have time to keep up with all of this when the line is wrapped outside the door. Right. But the risks of not keeping up with it are that, you know, you're serving food that's unsafe or that is bad quality because it hasn't been held to those right standards. And so a lot of it is these forms and processes, whether it's a changeover manager checklist or hand washing requirements or temperature management, they're there for a reason. You know, brands create these SOPs because they're important for operational efficiencies, because they'll drive strategic growth, because they'll protect them from the risk of, you know, massive outbreaks or shutdowns associated with failed audits. But the practicality of doing it without something digital to help support is really challenging. And so that's oftentimes we'll focus on one area that's really challenging for an operation or another, or we'll install the entire safety suite. But the reality is these things are hitting us all the time, and being able to get ahead of it and use predictive measures so we're not reacting to an illness outbreak, but we're preventing it before it even happened. That's really the goal.
And then what about cooking things to the appropriate temperature? Like one of the things that stuck with me is like seeing this documentary about, you know, people who've died from, you know, various, you know, pathogens and meat, and et cetera. And so if you cook it to a high enough temperature, you know, that obviously kills it. Is that something that you guys also monitor as well?
Absolutely. So we have one of our processing is a probe that you actually probe into the different food after it's been prepared to ensure that it hit the appropriate temperatures for there to make sure that there's no contamination or potential bacterial growth present, and then monitor and digitize that as well. And one of the things that we really focus on is how do we create opportunities for real-time trainings? Because you could get trained on, look, it's really important that the chicken is within this temperature range, but keeping track of that or remembering it 3 weeks later is really challenging. So a lot of it is when you actually temp the chicken itself, our app will pop up with if it's in the right range or not and what to do if it's not. It'll give you the next step and then give you the step after that and then give you the step after that. So it's a continuous training module that interacts with groups. You know, what also is interesting, in addition to making sure food is at the right temperature post-cooking, we found that one major issue of potential quality as well as safety risk is actually the cooling and reheating process for things like batch soups or rice. You may have seen some of the news components of people getting really sick from rice that had been cooled and then reheated in a microwave and what could have caused those pieces. It's actually really important that certain temperatures are hit at different times in that process. One of the solutions we offer is a set it and forget it type of probe where you can put it into the rice and as it's cooling, it will make sure that it hit the right temperatures over the course of several hours of its cooling process and alert the teams if it's not. So no one's sitting there literally watching rice cool in an operation with a million things going on.
Wow. And then we look at like the second order effects of like from like a business standpoint, like, you know, beyond the necessary like adherence to, you know, these guidelines, you know, what other second order effects are there? Do operators gain from using your platform when it comes to, you know, your different segments?
It's interesting because while we started in this to help support, and obviously the brands that partner with us and organizations are really excited about creating safe and healthy environments for their teams and also for their customers. But we find that there are all these other impact areas in addition to this. You know, actually investing in operational technologies like this increases throughput in a restaurant. You can actually see the impact on a bottom line by having a clean, safe, operationally effective restaurant. We also find that there's actually a real correlation with reducing sick days, with failure, reducing audit failures, with reducing insurance fees and premiums, with being able to increase employee retention because they feel cared for and supported in their environment. We had one organization that was in a franchise-based model, and the team members themselves actually said, can we pool our tips to pay for this solution? Because it's helping us that much in an operation. And so a lot of it is investing in the back of house teams. There's been a huge focus on front of house technologies. I mean, many of which are revolutionary for our industry, which is really exciting. But I think being able to support the back of house and create these additional operational efficiencies for them also pays spade in how their labor is utilized and labor cost savings. I mean, think about the number of hours that we're going to filling out all these logs and writing down all these temperatures. And another team member I was talking to the other day, she said, you know, I feel really invested in that now they're investing in the solution because I knew it was possible. Because as I was going around writing down the temperature in every refrigerator, my Nest at home was texting me the temperature in all my different rooms. So I know that this is possible. And it's exciting to see that feeling of impact driven by the team members that are so critical to these operations thriving.
Yeah, I think that trend of, like, you know, consumerifying, for lack of a better word, B2B products or back of house products is really fascinating, and, you know, solving unsexy problems. And, you know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs get lured in by their own personal experience. You obviously had a very unique experience that led you to create this, but a lot of them are coming at it from the ghost kitchen side or the POS side. And it's a very crowded space because a lot of people are putting themselves in the shoes of the customer, of the diner, you know, and saying, here's the, you know, front end facing experience. Here's the TAM of the food service industry, but they don't look at all the upstream components that go into that, you know? So it's really interesting.
Yeah. And those are the pieces, you know, everyone will say, well, our team is our most critical component of our secret sauce. You know, these people that are here serving the food, establishing the food. And so I think investing in them, investing in their experiences, and also making the solutions, as you kind of mentioned, like fun, exciting to use, friendly for the end user. A lot of the back of house technologies that they're used to are antiquated and hard to use and tricky to figure out. And so turning this into, you know, cool apps and use cases actually makes people excited about doing things that maybe before were a little bit more of a task, like hand washing. You know, we do a ton of work with gamifying that process. So instead of being like, oh, I just got to get my hand wash in, or forgetting to do it altogether, you know, you can play a trivia game while you wash your hands. And if you get a full hand wash, you get the answer to a trivia question. Or you can watch a video while you're washing your hands that takes care of a training that you needed to do later down the road. So a lot of this is building into the day-to-day tasks and operations that already have to happen. How do we make them engaging and exciting and rewarding?
Yeah, so on that thread, I'd love to kind of just talk about, like, kind of the high-level workflow. Like, let's take just, like, restaurants, for example, like a kitchen attached to, like, a fast casual joint or something. Like, what would that look like from the perspective of someone on the line clocking in that day from the time that they get going till the time they start, you know, serving guests? Like, how are they leveraging all the different parts of your platform?
So the second they, you know, clock in, they need to wash their hands and make sure they're clean as they've entered the kitchen environment. So the first thing they'll do is they'll complete their hand wash. They'll put their hands underneath and it'll identify if they have any of those invisible contaminations present. If they do, they rewash their hands, they rescan, and then they start work. And if not, you know, they get their first good to go of the day. That unlocks their first checklists that they need to do. So the scanner itself is now telling them, great, you completed your hand wash. Here's the first four things that you, Christine, need to accomplish for setting up your operation. And it walks them through a checklist of those different items. You might need to set up the tables and take a picture of those. You might need to start prepping the chicken and go through a certain series of steps, as well as taking the temperature of those different aspects. If anything is going awry in that process, you know, we're checking the images, we're checking the answers to the questions, it's telling you, hey, that happened. This is what you need to do. Throw out the food, talk to your manager, you know, you have to say what corrective action you completed if for some reason the temperature that you collected or the label that you put on was out of the appropriate range. And that is happening throughout their entire day. So essentially, these are guiding them through their tasks, making sure that they're all appropriately happening, and then reminding them of the critical components that need to happen. An hour's gone by. Everyone's got to rewash their hands. You know, that's one of our requirements. We need to wash our hands once every hour. We have an SOP for that. How often would that have just gotten missed as you move to the next set of tasks? And so a lot of it is creating those checks and balances and reminder systems that guide you through each step.
Great stuff. And so so it seems like you become the system of record for like every, you know, restaurant or CPG's like, you know, SOPs by virtue of using this platform, right? Is that correct?
It is. And so then you can actually start to get really interesting data. Because if you have access to all of that, instead of these being filled out on forms that are stored in everyone's unique back office, now you can actually go online and see, all right, across all my 500 locations, what are the trends that are happening? And so when you think about hand washing, for example, we might see, hey, in 100 of your 500 stores, we're seeing contamination in the same pattern from broom handles. What would be causing that? Oh, it's because we sweep during that time. Great. How often do we wash the broom handles? Oh, we don't wash the broom handles. Great. Let's add a checklist item to wash the broom handles because we're spreading contamination during that time. Or look, we're seeing that when this one delivery truck driver comes in to drop off the food, they always leave the door propped open. And we've seen that 20 times, and it's led to crates of ice cream that's been melted. Okay, great. That's actually a real identification factor. Let's just notify the delivery driver that they need to take a picture that says that the refrigerator door has been closed before they leave, or something along those lines. So a lot of it is getting at the trends from this digital system of record.
And I'm sure you can kind of correlate other things. Like if you're a franchise, right, and I'm sitting in corporate and I'm looking at, you know, my like lower performing stores by sales or reviews or other metrics, you know, and then I go into the path spot, I could probably start to see, you know, things slipping. Is that another way that, you know, chains
Absolutely.
Are using you?
And then a lot of organizations will then add extra audits for them to complete. Hey, you know, you're falling out of poor performance. We've seen that these six areas aren't being filled out or aren't being completed to the same caliber of other organizations. We're going to add an extra audit or an extra checklist that you've got to do while you get out of this process. And so it also is really creating intentional time for corporate team members. One of the things that we hear a lot is, we used to just guess, you know, we'd go check out every location, see how they were doing, ask them some questions. But I mean, especially, you know, someone from food safety corporate shows up to visit and what do you know, everyone's washing their hands that day. So we often will look at it and say, what are the biggest risk areas? Instead of spending your time, you know, visiting every single franchise location once a month, for example, let's really optimize the field operations time and say, go to these 10 stores this month, send an email to these 10 and say you did a great job. Go to these 10 and ask them specifically about these three things that we see as a risk area. And we find that making that intentional push makes a huge difference. When we're training people and just saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, and you got to do this, it's really easy for that to go over all of our heads. Like if I just say, hey, Matt, you got to wash your hands once an hour for 20 seconds, you're like, okay, sounds good. But if I say, hey, Matt, last week in your location, listen, we really missed hand washes during the lunch rush. Nobody washed their hands from 12 to 1. Obviously, that's out of a violation. We got to see hand washes during that time. And look, I know we have a policy around wearing rings. Contamination is actually getting in your rings. So we need to see your rings come out, and we want to make sure that you're washing your ring fingers. What do you know? That sticks with me. Like, I'm washing my hands at noon. I'm getting rid of my rings. I'm making sure I don't have contamination in the area. So it's often, how do we create a way to make these things impactful? What's the why behind why they're doing all these tasks? And we can do that by being specific and actionable.
Great stuff. I want to dive in a little bit to your hardware product, Hand Scanner. Yeah. This is something that you guys have, is a proprietary piece of technology. Like, explain to me how you're able to see all this bacteria on my hands and what kind of light you're using and kind of how that all works.
We use visible light fluorescent spectral imaging, which is a technology that is utilized to essentially shine unique wavelengths onto a hand or onto any surface. And then it auto fluoresces those invisible things that you can't see with your human eye, and sends back those auto fluorescent wavelengths through a series of filters and algorithms that we've created to identify if the contamination is present, even though you can't see it and you can't smell it. So the rays themselves are totally harmless. We don't actually use any UV or other components, so we're not disinfecting the hand. But instead, we're simply shining these specific wavelengths, exciting those particles, and then getting back that component that allows us to see things that we wouldn't be able to see otherwise.
Great stuff. And then I kind of wanted to talk about, you know, you have a lot of different customers on your website, you know, Taco Bell, Chopped, Arby's, Target, some great names here. I'd love to kind of dive in, like, what, you know, how your product functions in, let's just say, we were talking about a traditional kitchen environment versus maybe a manufacturing facility or a kind of hub and spoke commissary. Like, what, you know, what components do you think, like, each of these different segments are kind of indexing heavily on, or are they all kind of the same? You know, what are some of the key differences in how they're using your product?
So we work with all aspects of the industry, farms, packaging facilities, cafeterias, restaurants of all shapes and sizes, hotel, dining, grocery stores. I mean, really anywhere where food is handled, stored, or served is required to keep up with different processes in the food safety and operational matrix and components. And so I actually find that these tools can be unifying for the industry. It is something that no matter what, if you're touching food, if food enters your establishment, then you're a part of keeping that food safe and getting it where it needs to go, and a part of that overall and overarching journey in getting it into our mouths. And it's really empowering to be able to work on that. And of course, different operations and different throughputs have different needs. And so somewhere that's at a manufacturing facility, boxing dry goods, for example, hand hygiene is really critical, but temperature monitoring, not as critical as a location that's, you know, serving sushi. And so a lot of it is looking at what is actually being served, what is the processes that exist in this organization, and then what tools do you need? Is labeling and expiration really critical? Is temperature monitoring really critical? Is hand hygiene? Honestly, hand washing is pretty much always critical, especially for employee safety as well. And then also from a digital checklist standpoint, what checklists are most burdensome? Which ones create the most opportunities for challenges? And so there's no business that's alike. And even within an organization that's franchised, different franchisees utilize the solution differently or operate in different components. And I think that's one of the most powerful pieces. It's all modular. And I always tell customers, you know, I don't want to build something for you that you don't need. You know, that's just going to make the whole thing not used. Let's focus on what the biggest risk areas are. Let's focus on what the most operational burdens are. And then let's help you to get ahead of those specific elements.
Pretty cool. And so, like, we look at, I have to imagine that, like, some of the more, you know, the bigger brands that, let's just say, are in CPG and manufacturing, like, they need to be a lot more careful by the virtue of being more centralized than a franchisee of a single location where something could be a little bit more isolated, or maybe, you know, a store, one location is sourcing locally versus, you know, everything coming in from, you know, some huge distributor and some larger food company. Do you think, like, how big of an impact do you think that kind of design framework is, and how customers are adopting the solution, and any general thoughts on kind of where our food system is heading as far as, you know, this kind of big food versus kind of more locally sourced, and what some of the challenges are? Because I know there's a lot of different schools of thought there.
And there's, as you mentioned, there's a lot of different approaches to this. The reality is that anywhere that's touching food is associated with risk and is associated with impact. And so there might be different scalability matrices of those or different risk areas in different areas. But even a one location restaurant that's the last one to touch the chicken that's gone through this entire supply chain is responsible for getting it safely onto your plate. And so it really is something that every single piece of the puzzle matters. And one misstep in this, and it's part of why I'm so inspired to get to work on this every day, is one misstep can really create massively detrimental consequences. And I think also that what we found is that when there's one challenge in the industry, people and consumers get skeptical across the board. You know, even if it's a totally different franchisee, a totally different market, right, and a totally different thing, and there's an issue over there that had nothing to do with you, it still might make people be like, well, I don't want to go out to eat at a QSR today, or right, I don't want to go do this, you know, right now, or I'm apprehensive to get on a cruise ship, even if it's a totally different cruise line. And so a lot of what we focus on is how do we take the part that each group is responsible for and help them do that to the best of their ability. What I get really excited about is the capability of utilizing these data networks across the board. For example, we can show that a fish manufacturer handled the fish at the right temperatures with clean hands at the right expiration, and then see that all the way through a grocery chain, you know, and then it was handled with the right temperature, with right hand cleanliness at the right expiration, all the way through to a plate, or if it's being real sale, into restaurants, then into all these different restaurants, and was it held at the right temperature at the right plate? And being able to create a matrix of that is what allows us to be proactive instead of reactive. So when I think about where the industry is heading with these things, we have to get to a spot where we're not reactive, recalling products, you know, oh, we had a hand washing issue, we don't even know who that is or where that person is gone now. We have to get to a spot where we're getting ahead of these problems before they happen. And that's what I'm seeing people index on and really work towards.
That supply chain example that you gave, you know, going from kind of the fisherman to all the way down to the grocery store, I mean, is that actually happening today? And that's only, it seems like that's really only if all these different layers of the supply chain are on your platform, right? There's no, like, you know, having to put my tech hat on, like a blockchain ledger for all these different people to come together. That'd be really nice, but we know that that's not the case.
That. I think that could be our future, Matt. We'll put into the, I think about that a lot, actually. But yeah, we do have oftentimes where an entire supply chain segment will be utilizing the product, with the number of locations we service worldwide. And I think the other component of this is oftentimes they refer each other to each other. Hey, we're using this. I would love for my suppliers to utilize it. I'd love for the grocery store down the street to use it. I'd love for this to be able to be something that we can trust across the board. And we also really support a lot of the different audit processes as well. So ensuring that one organization is able to track back to the audit component that we gave points on an audit system, like an SQF audit or something, for utilizing the system to support food safety culture, we can tie all these different aspects together. And we find that networks of organizations and in this industry, one of my favorite things is that everyone is always talking to each other, always sharing best practices, always trying to support each other, even competitors. And I think especially within safety, people are trying to elevate each other to get to a point where it's a higher standard for the industry as a whole.
Yeah, it's got to be a rising tide that lifts all boats. Can you, at a high level, I mean, I'm very green on this, but like, can you talk about the various certifications that you support and what you've integrated across the suite, like just kind of real briefly what they are and what they mean?
So the system itself has several certifications to be able to work in all of these different embodiments, so supporting UL and CE and NSF and different components. And then what we do is we work into some of the different ecosystem areas like GFSI and SQF and other pieces to help support brands in preparing for those individual third-party audits, as well as for FDA-regulated audits. And so a lot of the different sections will be, you know, you get points for things like having a really good food safety culture. What does that mean? Often locations will come to us and say, okay, I need to get my points up in food safety culture. What is food safety culture? What do I do in food safety culture? And being able to say, hey, I have this tool that's continuously training, focused on safety, giving different team members different results. And then a lot of times we're also supporting individual brand audit systems. So a brand will say, well, I built an entire auditing system for us. You know, it's just internal to our system to make sure that our teams are all held at the right standards. That's really exciting to me. Like, wow, you've put all this work into creating an amazing auditing platform. How's it going? Most of the time they'll be like, well, no one fills it out, or I can't get a consistent answer set, or I don't really know what's happening on it. And so again, being able to create a digital way of supporting those different pieces. So some of them are third party, some of them are government, and some of them are brand themselves. But we really focus on supporting those audit practices.
And I kind of want to talk about, go back to the hardware and kind of this trend of, Internet of Things, I guess, like, you know, how much of what you work on is like integrating with smart fridges, and how much of it is, essentially having your own probes there, and kind of how do you see, the future of this kind of shaking out?
I earnestly think that all of the equipment is going to be digitally enabled and tracking these different elements. Smart refrigerators, smart stoves, smart cash registers, right? We're leaning in that direction. And a lot of it is, how do we take that data from all of these different aspects and get it into the right places that are actually useful? Because collecting data is one thing, but what are you doing with that data? How are you getting the information of the data you need where you need it? I think the first step is the IoT connected environment. And I do see that will be the future. Some of it right now is us, adding that in, essentially creating a smart refrigerator out of a refrigerator that currently doesn't have these tools in them with a easy, kind of sensor system that can just go in the corner of the refrigerator and turn it into a smart fridge. But we're seeing more and more, which is great, that a lot of these tools actually have these things built into them already. Mm-hmm. And then the next play is, all right, great, we've got all these IoT connected devices. What do we do with them? And that's where the data gets really exciting.
Right. I see this is going to be a huge boom for your services and your products as more and more, manufacturers, hardware manufacturers start to go this route and get internet connected. And then real quick on like going back to kind of the hand washing machine, like how hard is that kind of work to make your own hardware? And, what was kind of like the decision point around this? And how are you feeling about getting into that space?
I mean, some of it is that we can identify where the biggest risk areas are, and we can purchase, thermometer systems and create thermometer systems. But we realize that there are some huge risk areas that there was nothing there before. Mm. I mean, what's the solution to hand washing before this existed? A sign that says, employees, right, wash your hands before returning to work? I mean, we as an industry can and should do better. And the reality is, if there isn't a digital tool that can help do that, our team looks at it as an opportunity, then let's create one. Is it harder? Sure, of course. But I think that's what makes it even more rewarding. Being able to create something that changes the way people view their jobs, changes how they feel safe in their environments, it creates an opportunity for them to build and evolve on what the status quo was. That comes with creating customized hardware components.
Yeah, I just had a thought, like, I can't imagine what it's like for you to actually eat at a restaurant. You must be like wanting to crawl back into, like, you must like, go into the bathroom to just see what they have back there. And like,
Always thinking, I love actually talking to people in a restaurant. Like, all right, if someone looks overwhelmed, I'll often be like, what's going on? Are you okay? Like, oh my gosh, I have, four things on fire in the back. I'm like, why did they get on fire? Like, I'm really curious what's going on. And that's how we get the ideas that we have. I could go into a black box. I mean, as an engineer, I love creating. I could go into a black box and build a ton of different solutions and they would be all wrong. We need to make things that actually work for the people that are using them. And so even when we're testing a new solution, it's always, as quickly as possible, let's get it into a team member's hands. As quickly as possible, let's hear what people actually think about this. Every solution we've created has been because someone working in a food environment has told me it would make their life easier. And by someone, I mean, thousands of someones. And when you hear that pattern over and over again, when people are saying to me, I waited 10 years for something that could help me track and identify hand washing behavior. I'm up all night worrying about this. And you don't hear that from one restaurant, you hear it from 1,000. I think it's incredible to be able to actually create and provide that.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Well, Christine, this has been a really fascinating conversation. Kind of as we kind of get towards the end, I'd love to kind of have you put your kind of crystal ball out and tell us how you see kind of the food service space, like adopting, and I guess CPG, adopting, you know, hardware and software over the next 5 to 10 years to kind of minimize foodborne illnesses and kind of anything related to sanitation.
I mean, everyone is talking about the Food Safety Modernization Act. Everyone's talking about AI. Everyone's talking about IoT. These things have to all be able to work together. And what I envision is a world where all of our systems are connected. We know before there is a problem and are able to correct in real time based on this solution that we've been talking about that, you know, we're creating right here, even on this podcast, Matt. Like, how do we extract all this data? It's very clear. We create a connected system. We get the right data at the right times. And then we're using it to build that platform that identifies these issues before they happen. And it's a real-time, continuous, constant auditing and training platform instead of something where you come in and do a training once a month on safety, or you do a government audit once every quarter where it comes in and blows up the entire operation because someone's in there checking everything. It's just an ongoing, every minute you're able to identify if there's any risks. And then as consumers, I think the next step is being able to have that all digital on a platform where a consumer actually has the power to see, where did my food travel? Was it safe at every single level in that? And uses that as an indicator for how they approach business.
Really great stuff. Yeah, two things come to mind. One is Minority Report for Food as a tagline. The second is chain of custody, like just under as a consumer being able to like scan a QR code or like, you know, in your DoorDash order app, you know, you'd see like, you know, you'd have it verified at every step of the way, because as we keep going towards this convenience trend, which is something I cover a lot, I think there's an incredibly, you know, it becomes a lot more, it becomes exponentially more complex because there's just more middlemen involved in the process. And I think being able to, like you said, kind of understand every step of the way that things are being done properly is important, especially, you know, when food's sitting out and traveling, you know, 20 minutes or it's waiting out for some delivery driver to come and get it. You know, its quality is becoming a lot more important in that use case.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I want to give you the opportunity to plug away anything related to PathSpot. If you have careers that you're looking to hire for, we got smart engineers and smart tech, food tech people listening to this podcast, or we have a lot of obviously food service and CPG people listening. So, yeah, where can people head to if they want to learn more?
Fantastic. Our website is pathspot.com, and please check it out. We definitely are both hiring and always looking for more organizations to get on this platform for the future we're creating. So please reach out, and you can find all of our contact information and open roles there.
Okay, awesome. Well, wishing you the best of luck, and I'll be following along closely. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And if you're curious to get a firsthand look at the cutting edge of food and tech, check out hungry.tv. That's Hungry with no U, where you can join in on live conversations like these or sign up for the free weekly newsletter.